morning, God, to come to this place where we can shut out the rest of the world and just focus on you. Focus on ourselves and our relationship with you, and to encourage one another, to call each other higher.
Right.
And God, I pray that you bless this time in your word. As we look at your servant Joshua, I pray, Father, that we can imitate his heart, that we can imitate his courage, that we can imitate his faith. God, that when we leave here, Father, that we will attack the walls in our lives, that you'll give us the strength that we need to tear them down in your glory. Father, bless this time. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm happy to be here. Amen. I'm going to jump right into this.
Come on, man.
Phil Garrison just spoke on the heart of a warrior.
Amen.
And he spoke about David, one of my favorite characters. I have an honor of talking about another one of my favorite characters, Joshua. And today we're going to look at the courage of a warrior. The courage of a warrior. On my ride up here, I had to put that into practice. I drive a 2009 Honda Pilot, and these roads were not designed for SUVs. So I'm swerving at these wet roads, and then I come upon a flock of some ugly looking birds, and I'm on the phone with Paris. I'm like, where are you taking me? And he said, bro, those are turkeys. I said, oh, okay, well, amen. I'm in the city. You don't see what turkeys. Every time I see turkeys on Thanksgiving, on my sandwich. And he told me there was bears up here. I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting out the car. Whatever God wanted to claim or reclaim, his territory, he always sent a warrior to get it done. Saul sent to the Ammonites to reclaim his land. David to the Philistines to reclaim his land. Gideon to the Midianites to claim his land. Joshua to the Canaanites to reclaim his land. And all the judges, and you read through it all, God always sent a warrior to reclaim what belonged to him.
Amen.
And he gave it to his people as an inheritance, not as a reward, as an inheritance. This belongs to you. And I'm here to tell you today, New York City belongs to God.
Amen.
Despite what we see on TV, despite what you see in the streets, despite what people may tell you, New York belongs to God.
Amen.
And he needs warriors to reclaim.
Amen.
Are you ready to do that?
Amen.
Are you ready to reclaim the cross?
Amen.
So God,
good.
I'm here to tell you, Satan is trying to take it right from under us. It takes courage, brothers. We can't just go out there and say, we're going to do this. You can't reclaim God's land over hype. Because as soon as you get off the cross, whatever road you took to get up there, the enemy's going to be waiting for you. And he wants to see just how courageous you are.
Right.
You know, some people like Gideon didn't start off as warriors. God had to inspire them to see what he had already put inside them. He had to call Gideon what he really was. Sometimes it's hard for us to see anything good in ourselves. Sometimes it's hard for us to see ourselves being used by God, because maybe our past, maybe we failed, maybe we tried, and every time we tried, we fall short. Or maybe you were like Gideon, maybe you didn't try at all just because the fear of failure. Gideon was in the wine press. He was hiding. Some of us are hiding. We can't reclaim the city of God if you're in hiding. It takes courage.
Amen.
It takes courage.
Amen.
You know, there's always a battle to fight, and God needs warriors to fight. I know that you guys have some swords up there.
Yeah, we do.
I see some plastic, and I see some real. Lord help the one who goes to battle with a plastic sword. But you know, God gave us a more powerful sword. That's the word of God.
Amen.
That sword can defeat any enemy.
That's right.
And it is true each and every time. Satan cannot stand up against the word of God.
Amen.
He cannot stand up against the word of God. You know, we cannot afford to sit idly by while the world continues to die around us. We have to awaken that warrior spirit in us. And it is in each and every one of us. Far too long have some of us been complacent while the battle rages on against us and around us.
Right.
Some of us are sitting on the sidelines watching the other warriors in the arena.
Wow, talk about that.
And we're talking about all the highlights. But you have a warrior spirit in you. Raise your hand if you've conquered something in your life. You can't tell me that God cannot be. Some of us have conquered addiction.
Amen.
Some of us have conquered lust. Some of us have conquered impurity. Some of us have conquered deceit. Some of us have conquered pride. Some of us have conquered selfishness. Some of us have conquered worldliness. You cannot tell me that we cannot continue to conquer for God. That there's not a warrior spirit waiting to be awoken inside of us. Awaken inside of us. Every single one of us has had a victory in our lives.
Amen.
Yeah. Getting up this morning on time was a victory for some of us.
Amen.
Being here was a victory for some of us.
Amen.
You look at that place. Are they serious? I can't afford this. But you made it happen. You overcame. Why? Because you're a warrior.
Bring it, bro.
Come on. Amen.
I'm speaking to a room of warriors. I'm not talking to a bunch of men hiding in the wine press. I'm here to reawaken what's already inside of you. I'm not here to put it in you because God already put it in you. I'm just here to fan in the flame. And I hope that by today you leave here with all the inspiring, encouraging messages and realize what's already in us. That all we need to do is just to fan it in the flame. You know, the Israelites circled a fruitless desert for 40 years before God rose up a warrior to take over the promised land. It doesn't have to take you 40 years of fruitlessness to realize that God wants to do something in your life. We can stop circling these empty deserts, these fruitless deserts.
Yes.
And start taking over the land for God. Amen?
Amen.
Every man in this room is a conqueror and has that potential to do great things for God. I'm going to take courage. Joshua chapter 1.
Yep.
You know, this scripture was shared to me when I went into the ministry. And I studied this. I memorized this. I meditated on this because I knew that what God was calling me to do was something I've never done before.
Yes.
And I was terrified. I was intimidated. I was excited, but I was also scared. And especially when I found out that I was going to Harlem. I'm like anywhere but Harlem. It's not because I'm afraid of Harlem. It's not because I'm intimidated by the people. It's not even because I didn't like going on 125th Street. It's because I had personal drama with Harlem. My brother was murdered in Harlem. And that place was, you don't go there. I had family who covered it up in Harlem. To me, Harlem was not home. But when God called me to the full-time ministry, he said, I want you to go to Harlem. When I got over with the brother, I said, bro, are you sure I can't stay here in Manhattan if you can't do ministry? I said, you know, make sure shared this scripture, Joshua chapter 1. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will give you, will be with you wherever you go.
Amen.
This passage gave me the faith and the confidence I needed to do what God called me to do. Are you ready to be strong and courageous?
Amen, bro.
Are you ready to let God take you to places you probably never thought you'd ever go? Mm. It takes courage to face the unknown. Mm. It takes courage to overcome your past. Mm. It takes courage to face an unknown future. And this is what God was calling Joshua to do. And I'm calling you to do the same thing. Your courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens you.
Yes.
What frightens you? What scares you? What intimidates you? See, God is calling us to be warriors. Warriors are not absent of fear. They conquer their fear. They do the things that frighten them.
Yes.
And that's what makes them warriors.
Yes.
Right. Because they stare fear in the face and say, I see you, but I'm not going to back down from you. I'm shaking in my boots, but I'm going to shake in my boots as I press forward.
Yep. Amen.
That's what warriors do. We don't cower to fear. We don't turn back because of a little intimidation. We push forward because we know that God is with us.
Come on.
And that God will never forsake us.
Amen.
I have two simple points. Yep. Take from the life of the experience of Joshua here. And you know, I often wonder, say, you know, why did God command Joshua to be strong and courageous? And you know, he said the same thing to Moses. He told Moses to be strong and courageous. And Moses, in turn, said the same thing to Joshua. And here God is preaching, God is speaking directly to Joshua. Be strong. Then he goes and said, be very courageous. At that point, I was like, why would I be very courageous? Why couldn't you just be, you know, the first time you said be courageous, you know how then when someone repeats the same thing?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, now you got me really scared here. Like, why would I be very courageous? It's because Joshua was going to face some really tough challenges. There were some obstacles that he had not, the desert had prepared him for, but he wasn't ready to face. He trusted God. And you know, there are things that's going to come up in our lives, brothers, that your quiet times, every sermon, every midweek service you've been to, are going to have to hold you up.
Yeah.
There are things that you're going to have to face, and the only way to get through it is by being strong and courageous. What do you believe are the biggest challenges for the men in our church? Let's get a few answers. What do you think some of the biggest challenges?
Well, I believe initiating events, you know, planning.
Okay.
Consistency.
Consistency, all right.
Having the ability to get vulnerable and tell another brother, hey, this really offended me, this really hurt me.
Being vulnerable, all right.
Love.
Love.
Commitment.
Finances.
Laziness.
Forgiveness.
Purity.
Teaching.
Maturity.
Pride.
Let me throw this one out. One
humility.
More. Huh?
Humility.
Humility. I've been around for 20 years, not as long as Brother Powell, but I've been around long enough.
Hold back.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, brothers like Joy. takes courage to stay a man committed to God, right?
Amen.
I believe one of the biggest obstacles to the men in our church is cowardice.
Great, bro.
Let me ask you, let me prove my point. When was the last time you or another brother confessed cowardice to you? Is that not in Revelation 21:8?
Wow.
Right along the list of all the other sin that will not make it into the kingdom of, is it cowardice on that list?
Yes.
Right.
When was the last time you confessed, bro, I just cowered to him. I gave into my fear. Here's the thing. Sometimes we think it's the really big, obvious things that keep us back. Purity is a no-brainer. Right? Every man deals with it. But there are at least two sins that I ask myself, when is the last time I've heard someone confess it, or I've confessed it myself? Right. That's greed and cowardice. Greed can actually get you put out of the church.
That's right.
Now we've had men put out of church for sexual immorality, right?
Right.
But what about greed? You see, we have CR groups to help people overcome addiction.
Amen.
We have purity groups to help brothers overcome sexual impurity. What do we do when it comes to cowardice?
Wow.
There's a reason God called Joshua to be strong and courageous.
Amen.
It's because the only thing that can stop his plan was if the people quaked in fear. I believe that this subtle sin is keeping God's church from going to the next level. It's keeping a lot of brothers
from
raising up to be the leaders that God is calling them to be. It's keeping a lot of us from getting married and staying single because we're just afraid.
Wow.
Of another person being in our lives and seeing our sin.
Whoa.
24/7. Having a whole other set of eyes on our lives. Keeping us from stepping out on faith and do the things that we know God is calling us to do.
Great, bro.
Man.
Bro, I've been proud. Bro, I've been selfish. Bro, I've been impure. Bro, I'm a coward.
Wow.
Two areas Joshua had to show faith and great courage was at the wall of Jericho and the battle at Ai. It takes courage to conquer both the wall and the fall. And that's my 2 points. The first is the wall. Let's look at Jericho. We're going to read a little Bible here. Is that all right?
Amen.
Let's read a little Bible here. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to give you some context here. Because Joshua, he was up against some odds. And right here, you know, we see him and people of Israel facing this great walled city. Sometimes New York can appear to be a walled city. Like, we just cannot penetrate the neighborhoods that we're in, right? That it's hard for us to even penetrate the school system. And it seems like it's so easy for Satan to get in there. As if he had a key or a combination to the lock on the city. But it's so hard for us to get through the walls that people put up. Amen. And here in chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with his king and his fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear them sound about a long blast of the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout, then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man screaming." I don't know about you, but this sounds like a ridiculous plan. I gotta be honest.
Thank you, bro.
If 70 elders were like, "Okay, guys, this is the plan for 2017. I want all your regions to march around the
Come on.
And the walls will come down. Now, I think what's even more amazing is you don't hear Joshua contesting this. And sometimes, you know, you read in Deuteronomy and Exodus, you see there's some back and forth between God and Moses. And Moses is like, well, Lord, are you sure about this? But Joshua, as ridiculous as this plan sounds, look what it says in verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it, and order the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard, going ahead of the ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant followed them. He obeyed.
Amen.
He obeyed because it was God's plan.
Yeah.
He didn't resist. He didn't contest. He obeyed.
Yeah.
You know, obedience is the first step towards courage.
Mm. Amen.
Wow. What did he tell Joshua in chapter 1? Be strong.
Courageous.
Be courageous. But then he also told him to not let the book of the law leave his mouth. See, God first made sure that Joshua was rooted in the Word. Because if he obeyed the Word, he would obey all his commands. You know, sometimes our courage falters because we don't have a deep conviction about the Word of God.
Right.
If you don't hear God, if God's not speaking to you, you're not going to speak to anybody else.
Right. Wow.
He told them to meditate on it so that you do everything it says. Sometimes our quiet times are done on the train, it's done on the bus, and look, get it in when you can, all right? It's better to be in the Word than to not be in the Word. But we got to give some careful thought to what we're reading.
Right.
We got to allow God's Word to sink deep into our hearts to give us the faith that we need so when God calls us to do something, it's not coming from hype. It's not even just because it came from the pulpit. It's coming from conviction.
Right.
It's coming from the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So God didn't call Joshua to do anything he didn't already command him to do before. He obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And because he obeyed, it gave not only him courage, it gave his people courage.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we see our leaders being examples, doesn't that inspire you?
That's right.
To also be an example?
That's right.
You know, I think sometimes, those of us who lack courage, it really comes from the lack of imitating. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews to imitate our leaders in the outcome of their faith. It didn't say imitate everything they do. It says imitate the outcome of their faith. How did they get there? What did they do? They were courageous.
Mm.
Bro, how do you share your faith? How do you face these things? And what do you do? We can get over some humps that we humbled out and imitate.
Yeah.
Just imitate. I remember as a young Christian, I was terrified to share my faith. I was terrified because I'm thinking, man, I don't want to talk to people before I was a Christian. And now you want me to talk to total strangers? My mama raised me to not talk to strangers. And now Jesus is telling me to talk to strangers.
Yeah.
I remember being on campus, the only one sometimes, shaking in my boots. I'm like, I gotta make something happen. But I'm scared. And then what I do is I got with my disciple partner and I watch him share his faith. Like, yes, that's easy. I could be nice to people. We'd be on the train together, and this guy would just ask somebody sitting next to him, hey, you done with the sports section?
Sure.
And then he'd start a conversation.
Wow.
And before you know, he's right in the church. I'm thinking, that's all you gotta do? Just say hi? It's just, sometimes it doesn't, we think ourselves out of great things.
Yes.
The brother who shared his faith with me was terrified. He was discouraged. He could share his faith all day. He said, you know what? I'm going to share one more person, and that's it. I was that one more person.
Amen.
Wow. Who would have known I would become a disciple? I didn't know it. He didn't know it.
But because he was courageous,
right,
and because he obeyed,
amen.
Look what God had done.
Yeah. Amen.
Now God had given Joshua specific instructions. He told the people in verse 10, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, and then shout. You know, you can keep reading down, and you know, we all know the story. They march around, and then in verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. You know, Joshua and the people of God faced the great wall city. And God's plan to bring it down was to talk to them. Raise your voice at these walls, and they'll come crashing in. You know, we too face a wall city, a wall of pride, people refusing to see their need for God, a wall of apathy, people refusing to love their neighbor as they love themselves. But these walls fell because the men and women raised their voices. And guys, I'm telling you right now, if Joshua had stayed silent, if he had not bought into God's plan, those walls would still be up. Those walls were erected hundreds of years before Joshua was born. So those walls had seen some battles, and they stood. But when they came up to God, they were no match for the people of God. I'm telling you right now, there are walls set up in New York that people have tried to break down. Politicians have tried to break them down. Religious organizations have tried to break them down. Law enforcement has tried to break them down. Good-hearted citizens have tried to break them down. But the only way these walls can come down is with God's plan.
Right.
And we know what God's plan is.
Yes.
Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go and make disciples.
All nations.
The stuff we're dealing with is a spiritual issue. It's a heart issue. So God's plan is to speak up. Speak to the hearts of man. Turn one man around, and he'll turn another man around, and he'll turn another man around. That's God's plan.
Amen.
It may seem like a ridiculous plan, especially nowadays. But God's plan works.
Predicalo.
God's plan has always worked. But in order for it to be truly effective, we need every man speaking up.
Amen.
That's right.
Everyone in that circle, it was a concerted effort. Everybody, they were unified. They all shouted. They all spoke up, and the walls came crashing down.
Amen.
It takes courage to risk being misunderstood, to being rejected, being criticized, being persecuted. But there is no other way to bring down the walls. You know, God's plan has already broken down walls of racism. They have already broken down walls of apathy, already broken down walls of greed, already broken down walls of religiosity, already broken down walls of classism. God's word has already done that.
Yes.
And so his plan works, brothers.
Amen.
We get frustrated because we think that there should be another plan, that there's another way to change people, to get things done.
Right.
We're not called to change society. We're called to change people.
Right.
Who will, in fact, change society as a result of being disciples.
Yeah.
Amen.
You guys have changed your family just because you're a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
I know I have.
Yeah.
There is no way on God's green earth my family would be as happy and healthy as they were if I was not committed to Jesus.
Right.
I'm a sinful man. I'm a lustful man. I was a promiscuous guy. I would have been faithful to my wife.
Keep it real, bro.
Kind to my children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's only because of God's word.
Yeah.
God's plan.
Amen, brother.
That my family is happy and healthy and has a chance to make it to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Can we give everybody a chance?
Yes.
Amen.
We need to give everybody a chance. See, God's plan works, brothers. We need to trust it, even though it may seem like we need another plan. Timing is everything with God. And this plan may have seemed illogical, outrageous, it made no sense, but God wanted to make clear to his people who was bringing about the victory. Mm-hmm. You see, when we keep to God's plan, it's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about God.
Right.
Yes. You don't change the heart. Even though you're the ones opening the Bible with someone, showing them the scripture, it's not your words, it's the word of God.
Yes.
God gets the glory. They're not your fruit, they're God's fruit.
Amen.
Read your brother.
We only plant and water. Yeah. Spiritual gardens, that's all you are.
Yeah.
But it's God who brings about the fruit.
Right. Yeah.
We got to speak up. Every man in this room has a voice. A unique voice that God has given you to reach out to people He has designed for you to meet. Is that Acts 17? He's designed the exact time and place in which we're to be. God knows. He has a plan for everybody, and we're a part of that plan. But obedience breeds faith, and faith breeds courage. In Hebrews 11, verse 30, it says, Hebrews 11, verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. You know, it takes patience.
Yeah.
It takes patience to follow God's plan.
Yeah.
You can't force it. Yeah. It took them 7 days. Now, God could have done that one. He could have just said, circle it once, yell, and the walls would come down. But God was testing their faith.
Amen.
He was testing their obedience, just like He's testing ours today. Go make disciples. But these, they're shooting black people. Go make disciples.
Amen.
You can see who's running for president. Go make disciples.
Amen.
Amen.
God did that. Genocide, gentrification is pushing all the black and Latinos out. Go make disciples.
Amen, bro. Amen, bro.
Because we get a disciple in the presidency.
Well,
we get a disciple in our school systems.
Well,
we have disciples making decisions with God on their mind, God on their conscience.
Yes.
You can't tell me change couldn't come.
Right.
God's plan works. Amen?
Amen.
And secondly, let's look at the fall. That's the wall. Let's look at the fall. You know, we don't need any more Facebook warriors, brothers. We need more Facebook warriors. We need more people getting into the book, getting their face into the book. It's cowardly to hide behind Facebook posts now and not have that face-to-face conversation. You got an issue with a brother, you talk to him face-to-face. That's what real men do.
Amen.
You don't hide behind text messages and Facebook posts or Twitter accounts.
Talk about it.
We got issues. We put Matthew 18 into practice. We don't put it all out there because once it's out there, you can't retract it. It's out there. And then you get a bunch of other people chiming in, making the situation worse. And something that could have been handled by a conversation between two spiritual people is now ballooned into something that we got to get a whole church involved to fix.
Wow.
All because we were cowards.
Wow.
Speaking the truth in love is being courageous.
Yes. Amen.
It's not always easy to do.
That's right.
Amen.
But it is courageous.
Radicalo.
Whether it's in the church or outside the church, we speak the truth in love, we're being courageous. Second, let's look at the fall. The battle of Ai. You know, this story would have been beautiful had this not happened, right? Let's look at Joshua chapter 7. Everything was going good. The walls of Jericho fell. I mean, we didn't even get into how Joshua split the Red Sea, the Jordan. He did exactly what Moses did. You know, we read about Moses splitting the Red Sea and Joshua split the Jordan at its flood level. So God did it at a perfect time where it was like, man, you know, they could walk across this thing or sail across, but it was at flood level. And God used him to do some miraculous things. And here we see this battle. He's full of confidence, full of faith, ready to go and conquer this land for God and live in his house. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, it says, but the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regards to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of them. The Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent them from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up, spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said in confidence, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. I mean, just send, you know, George Boyce's Bible Talk, and, you know, we only need to send a few mission groups up there. We don't need to send the whole, we need to send all the brothers, right? When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and don't worry all the people. Now, they were feeling good. They were riding high. I mean, wouldn't you? If you saw this wall city collapse right before your eyes because you just yelled at them. I mean, think about how excited we get when we see men get baptized and come to Christ and repent. Isn't that an exciting thing? But it's discouraging when we see people fall.
Yeah. Talk about that.
And it depends, and even the people who fall sometimes takes the wind right out of them.
Yeah.
It just breaks our heart. It knocks us back a few steps, and it even makes us a little gun shy.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not speaking to any more walls. See, this is what happens when you step out and be courageous. This is what happens when you trust God's plan. Not everybody stays faithful. And sometimes a fall can cause us to fall. Our faith level falls. Our confidence falls. Our love for the lost falls. Our conviction falls. So about 3,000 men, verse 5, were killed by 3,600. They chased the Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries, struck them down in the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring these people across the Jordan?" That sounds familiar. That sounds like Moses.
Yes.
Why did you take and bring us out here to die? Right? Deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan in that fruitless desert. Oh Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and they will surround us and wipe out your name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? Then the Lord said, "Stand up. What are you doing down in your face? Israel has sinned. They violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and they run because they've been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people, tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted among is among you. O Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it." When God had sent his people to destroy Jericho, he told them that anything that was there should be destroyed.
Yep.
Everything should be destroyed.
Yep.
One brother.
Yeah.
Went against the plan.
Come on.
One brother. One.
Come on.
Not a group. Not a tribe. One God. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that your sin can hold the church back?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep.
Do you treat it as such?
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have it up here. If it doesn't go down here, nothing's gonna change.
Right.
Yeah. You don't think Achan was there when God had commanded them to do this? You don't think he was in church when Joshua preached his message, this is what we're going to do, when he laid out the battle plan? He was there. He was there. But he decided, no, I'm going to keep something. Why am I destroying all this? There's some good stuff here. Are
God seriously wants us to destroy all this? All of it?
Come on.
No, come on. I don't know about you guys. He took some, put it in his tent.
Yep, he did.
He did.
You know, when God calls the people to be consecrated, he's calling them to basically come together and confess. Prepare yourself. Expose your heart before the community. And when God did, when he broke it down tribe by tribe by tribe until he got all the way down to one family group. And he said, let's deal with the sin right here. One family group caused the lives of his brothers. You know, sometimes when we sin makes us stupid. It makes us blind.
Yeah.
It makes us deaf.
Yeah.
And it makes us mute. We really don't realize we're not thinking about the consequences of how it's going to impact everybody else.
No. It's true.
We know. You don't think about the gravity. You know, sin is like weapon is like a weapon of mass destruction. Once it hits, there's a blast radius. And the ones closest to the sinner, the family, is usually the ones who are first impacted by this blast. And we see here in Achan, his whole family had to be stolen. So the whole community was affected overall, but his family, because of his sin, had to be stolen. And everything they owned. You see, we got to be radical about dealing with sin in our life.
Amen.
We have to be radical. Because here's the thing. When you go to work, if you're one way at work and a different way at church, the people who see you at work are thinking, well, that's what a Christian is.
Wow.
That's what a believer is supposed to be like. Oh, so I can curse and just come to work and invite people to church. Or I can get drunk and then show up like nothing happened.
Talk about it.
You become a stumbling block to other people who are weak. And to the people who are not, who hadn't met Jesus Lord in their lives yet, they get a watered down version of discipleship. And when they study the Bible and become Christians, they become watered down. They're lukewarm. Their faith is weak because we hadn't set a great example.
Right.
See, Achan's sin didn't just impact him. God took his presence from the people. God is holy. God cannot be with their sin. No, there's God's grace. You know, God is a gracious God, but we still got to deal with sin. 1 John 1 tells us that we walk in the light as he is in the light. We're continually washed clean. It's when we live in deceit, which is what caused that fall. He went on to act like everything was fine, but God knew better. God knew better. And you know, the sin of deceit, and I just want to spend a little bit of time here. The sin of deceit is so destructive because the problem with this sin is that you don't always see the impact right away. A lie can live for a long time. It can be hidden for a very long time. And when it's exposed, that's when you see the gravity of how deep and dangerous that sin was. I mean, when Achan's sin was finally exposed, his whole family was wiped out, lives had already been lost, there was a defeat, the people, their hearts melted, became fearful where they were faithful. Joshua was confused, he was just on the verge of blaming God for what had happened. Instead of faith, it caused discouragement throughout the church. And you know, our sin may seem like a small thing, but its effect can be felt by the entire church. But just as sin can spread, so can faith.
Right.
See, the story doesn't end there with Achan's sin, the fall. Because once they dealt with the sin, once they got over with the sin and they dealt with it, they bounced right back.
Amen.
And you see, it takes courage to face our sin and come back.
Yes.
Sin doesn't have to take us out.
Yes.
Sin doesn't have to keep us quiet.
Ready, Carlo.
Be open about it. If we're walking in the light, if we keep sin in the light, eventually it dies. It's only when we keep it hidden. It's only when we try to hide it for fear of man, or fear of being exposed, or fear of shame or humiliation, whatever it is that's keeping us from being open, whatever is keeping us from being open, once we're courageous and we confess that, God can bring about a victory.
Amen.
You see, it wasn't until they dealt with the sin, we see in chapter 8, that God brought back the victory. And not only did they rout their enemy, but God did something amazing. He revived their faith. He revived their conviction, even to the point to where we see Joshua praying an impossible prayer, asking God to keep the sun in the sky until they routed their enemies.
Yeah,
right.
You know, someone once said that a lie may take care of the present, but it has no future. John Gotti once said, "I never lie because I don't fear anyone. You only lie when you're afraid." Abraham Lincoln once said, "No man has a good enough memory to make a successful lie." Is there something you need to get open about while you're here? You know, one of the things I love about these men's retreats is that it gives us the opportunity to be real.
Yes.
And there's no one here that's going to be judgmental. Because we're all sinners.
Yeah.
We all have something in our lives that we're fighting and we need to overcome.
Predícalo.
It takes courage to bounce back. You know, we restored some brothers this year, and I gotta say, I'm so proud of these guys because they could have let fear keep them out in the world.
It's true.
And they've done some horrific things. They've done some things that they were ashamed of. But because they were courageous,
yes,
and they trusted God's plan for their life, these men have bounced back and are doing far greater than they were when they first were converted.
Amen.
Yes. Wow. Amen.
See, God has given us a warrior spirit.
Amen.
But we cannot be afraid to speak up. And we cannot be afraid to bounce back. Amen, brothers?
Amen. Amen.
I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Consecrate yourselves while you're here.
Right.
Amen.
Get open. Get honest. If you've been given into fear, get up, bro. I've been cowardly in my evangelism. I've been cowardly in confessing my sin. I want to be open. I want accountability. Help me. Pray for me. Pray with me.
Yeah.
But don't let it keep you in the wine press. In Joshua 8, verse 1, I'll close out here. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai, his king, as you did to Jericho and his king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves." This time, God said, "You can go for plunder." You know, sometimes it's hard to bounce back. I know I've been there. But let me tell you something. God is fighting for us. God is fighting with us. And brothers, courage is contagious. Courage is infectious. Courage is attainable. Joshua's courage spilled into his prayer life. It's given to the rest of the nation, and so can yours. Let's take back our city.
Amen.
Let's wake up and be the warriors that God is calling us to be.
Amen.
Fan it in the flame, and it will catch fire in the rest of the church. God be the glory.
Amen. Amen.